Well, good morning, and as we come to look at God's Word today, have a look in your Bibles. If you've not got a Bible, run and grab it. We're in Matthew chapter 28, the end of chapter 27, beginning of chapter 28, as we look at the amazing story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you got a Bible? Boys and girls, sitting by your mum and dad with your Bible and you're looking together at God's Word? Great, let's pray that God would speak to us this morning through his word on this glorious Easter day. Loving Father, we pray that you would speak into our hearts truth that would bring us hope and strength and life and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have had Easter eggs in the Reese household for ages, just sitting there and actually having chocolate. When you're sitting there in lockdown, it's not easy. You need a lot of chocolate in lockdown. But I've said to the kids and to the wife, no, no, no. We're going to keep those Easter eggs for Easter Sunday. But have a look at what I discovered. Someone has taken this Easter egg box and opened it. And inside, it looks like, and it's true, they have eaten the Easter egg, the empty box. What a mystery. Do you know the rhyme? Who stole the cookie from the cookie jar? Well, this is a case of who stole the eggy from the eggy Easter box. This is a case for Sherlock Poirot. Excuse me one moment. Bonjour, ça va?
Oh, I am here for a crazy investigation. I've come to discover who has stolen the egg from the Easter eggy box. I have many culprits in this house, and I will investigate each one of them. First culprit, Molly Reese. Is she the one who stole the Easter egg from the Easter eggy box? I wonder. Or maybe it could have been Rosie Reese. Oh, maybe she is the one, the culprit who stole the Easter egg from the Easter egg box. Or maybe it is this character here, Winnie. Now, did she steal the Easter egg from the Easter eggy box? Who is a liar and who is telling the truth? With my great powers of deduction, I think the culprit is Winnie. Around her chops is lots of chocolate. I can see that she is the one who stole the Easter egg from the Easter eggy box. She is the liar. She said, I did not do it, but look, the evidence is there. That is another case solved by Sherlock Poirot. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherlock Poirot. He's great at spotting lies. I wonder, did you spot on our reading today the big question about Easter? Is the resurrection of Jesus true or is it a lie? Did you hear what Jesus' enemies called him in our reading today? Have a look, it's there in verse 63 and it begins with the letter D. Can you see it? It's the word deceiver. You see, Jesus' enemies called him a deceiver. That word means liar. Jesus' enemies are calling him a liar. How awful. Satan is the deceiver, not Jesus. But that's what his enemies believe. And who is telling the truth? You see, Jesus' enemies had killed him because he said he was the king, the Messiah. They thought he was a liar. They didn't believe him. They wanted him dead. That's what happened on Good Friday when Jesus died on the cross. And his enemies want to make sure that he stays in the tomb, in the grave. So they go to Pilate again. They want to make sure that no one steals Jesus' body. If news got out that his body had gone, that would be a PR disaster. So they go to Pilate. Have a look at verse 63. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, that liar, said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception, they say, will be worse than the first. They are convinced that Jesus is a liar. He deceives people. So Pilate obliges. Verse 65, take a guard, go make the tomb as secure as you know how. And that is what Jesus' enemies did. Jesus' body had been laid in the tomb on the Friday. Pilate knew he had died. Two of Jesus' friends, Mary and Mary Magdalene, watched as they took Jesus' body into the tomb and they rolled the stone across. The large stone had been rolled across the entrance to the tomb. It was heavy. A huge piece of rock. The enemies of Jesus came and they sealed it, probably with wax and rope, and they put there, in front of the tomb, guards to stop anybody from stealing the body of Jesus. There was no way that Jesus, the liar, as they saw him, could keep deceiving people, and his followers could pretend that somehow he'd come back to life. That's the plan they cooked up. But who's telling the truth? Is it Jesus? Or is it the high priests? It was very early the next morning. The two friends, Mary and Mary Magdalene, were going to the tomb. There was suddenly a violent earthquake. And some extraordinary things began to happen. A mighty warrior of light, an angel, came from heaven. Oh! He rolled back the stone and sat on it. He was shining brightly. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards who were watching were shocked and scared. They were shaking. They fell to the ground like dead men. So the angel announced the glorious news to the women. Take a look at what they said. Verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then quickly go and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now that is a lot to take in. They were not expecting to hear that. Jesus had died. They'd seen his body laid in the tomb. But now he was alive. Nothing for them to be scared about. The angel said wonderful words to scared people. Do not fear. Do not fear, the angel announced. Why? Because Jesus' body was not there. He had risen. And Jesus said that was going to happen. Do not fear. He has risen just as he said. You can always trust what Jesus says. Whatever he says, he does. You can trust his promises. He's no liar. He's speaking the truth. You can build your life on his words and his truth. And then what should the women do? Well, they had to go and see the place where he was laid. Why? Because it was an empty tomb. Jesus is not there. And they should scarper quickly. And go and tell the disciples. What an amazing fourfold instruction. From the angel to the ladies. Do not fear. He has risen. Just as he said. Go and tell my disciples. Well, what to do? The women scarpered off. Away from the tomb. They were full of emotion. Afraid. The earthquake. The angels. They were in shock. But they were so excited. Filled with joy like fizzy water, ready to pop with the news, running to tell the disciples. But then they got another massive shock. Verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, said Jesus. Well, they came to Jesus and they hit the floor before him and they worshipped him. Of course they worshipped him. There could be no doubt that he was the Son of God, the one who was dead but was alive. Wow. What a Lord, what a wonderful Saviour. He doesn't want them to be afraid. Verse 10, the risen Lord Jesus says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, that's his disciples, to go to Galilee. There you will see. It's a similar message, isn't it? To the angel's message. No need to fear. Jesus has risen. Go and tell my disciples. How wonderful that is. How glorious that is. The news of Jesus' resurrection made sure. First the angel, now Jesus. Jesus is alive. Death and sin are defeated. Jesus has made the way to new life, resurrection life for all who will trust in him. It's a glorious truth, friends, that should make us fall on our knees and worship Jesus. Make sure that this Easter, you worship the Lord Jesus. You say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. My substitute on the cross, my risen Lord and Saviour. I worship you today. Hallelujah. What a great Saviour you are. You see, twice these women are told the important news by the angel and by Jesus. And they go and tell the disciples. And the question this morning is this, for the youngest and the oldest listening in, who is telling the truth? Who is telling the truth in the story? And who is lying? Because that answer changes everything. Well, the women went on their way to do as they were told. And the guards who had seen the stone rolled and the angel appearing were proper terrified, with their knees knocking. They went off to see the chief priests and teachers of the law. They had things to report back to the chief priests' central office. This is not in my job description. They said stand there all night. Didn't say anything about an earthquake or angels or an empty tomb. I had enough. It's not my job spec. I'm speaking to my union. Let's get the chief priests. What on earth was going on? What on earth was going on? Well, what do you think was happening? His body's gone. They said he's alive. The angel said he's come to life. Well, the chief priests did not want anybody to hear that sort of news. They had a plan and they knew how to sort the soldiers out. They gave them a very, very big bag of money. Oh, right. Well, now come to mention it, I can spin a yarn, you see. The wonderful thing is this, that during the night, when we were sleeping, the disciples came and they stole the body of Jesus. Amazing what a bit of wonga can do to change your mind of an evening. From that point forward, the story was spread amongst the Jews that Jesus' body had been stolen by the disciples. Not risen, stolen. Any story of resurrection. It's a lie, deception from the deceiver Jesus. So here is the question for us today. Who is the deceiver in this story? Who is a liar? And who is telling the truth? Is it the religious leaders? And many people think that it can't be true that Jesus rose from the dead. Or is it the women in our story, the angel, the Lord Jesus himself speaking, risen from the dead, and Matthew as he shares his gospel, telling us the truth that Jesus who died really rose again. Matthew wants us to hear these facts, these truths, and to expose the trickery and lies and deceit of the high priest and all those who say that Jesus did not rise and is not alive today. You see, Jesus really did rise from the dead. That fact, my friends, changes absolutely everything. It has changed the life of millions of people throughout history and today. It changed my life and it gives me hope for the future and countless other people around the world. And do you know what? If we come to believe in Jesus as the Saviour who died for us and the risen Lord, as God himself who's made the way through his death and resurrection to give us life forever, we have a glorious hope now and forever. And ever and ever. When I take funerals, which is a real privilege as part of my ministry, but also a real sadness at times, I say these words of Jesus in John's Gospel. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, will live. That is no lie. It is no deceit. Jesus' words can be trusted. And actually, they're words that should make us worship today. The risen Lord Jesus Christ, he says to us all, in every situation we face, do not fear. I have risen. Just as I said, go and tell. I wonder what you are fearful of right now. Much that can make us fear in this world. Will we bring our fears to the Father through Jesus Christ and know his grace and strength to have hope for the future forevermore? Do not be afraid. He has risen. Just as he said, go and tell. Words of truth to build our lives in. Words of truth to give us hope and strength today and for the future. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that we do not believe a fable. We believe the facts of the resurrection so clearly shown us in Scripture. Help us all, from the youngest to the oldest, to build our lives on Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord and Saviour. Help us not to fear, but to have faith and to trust in him today and to worship him today. We love Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.